We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Stort for the win. It's good. Pokuševski takes flight as SGA plays through the contact, banks it in on the foul.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Uncontested Postgame Show, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, JD Silva, and I'm joined tonight by Jacob Niffen. Jacob, how's it going?
What's up? I had a blast watching basketball tonight.
Actually, the best part of tonight's game was when I got a small pizza just to myself before the game started.
I had breakfast food for dinner, and it was great. I had some scrambled eggs. I had some sausage. I had some bacon.
Sausage links or patties?
Oh, patties.
Nice.
I'm a patties kind of guy.
Yeah.
And some waffles.
Mmm. Are you a waffle or a pancake guy?
Oh, waffles, 100%.
All right, I think I'm with you.
Throw some protein powder in there.
Oh.
Good to go. Some vanilla protein powder. Oh, dude, so good.
That sounds good. Well, Jacob, the trend of debilitating losses when I'm on a post game continued tonight. Maybe I'm the tank commander. What do you think about that?
I think you are. Every time you host a post game, the Thunder get the break speed off of them.
Yep. Started with a 76 point loss, something like that. Started 73. Started with that one. I forget who we played last time, but it was also very depressing. And then now we have tonight, of course. So going off of that, tonight in San Antonio, OKC lost to the Spurs 118-96. Honestly, a rough game. Rough game all around. Thunder shot 25% from three and 38% from the field overall. Jacob, what are some first impressions you have from tonight's game?
Some nights the offense isn't there, mm-hmm. and some nights the defense isn't there. And tonight it was both of those things. The Thunder looked sluggish. They looked bad. I mean, when you look at the starters, Aaron Wiggins, 8 of 11, I'm sure we'll talk about him. Mm-hmm. But besides him, Shea, 5 of 21, Giddey, 4 of 16, Dort, 4 of 13, JRE, 1 of 4. I mean, just the starters just absolutely horrible. And I thought San Antonio was ready for everything that OKC came with. I mean, Shea had absolutely zero driving lane. Jakob Poeltl, low-key, kind of like a really good defensive center, just shut down the interior for Oklahoma City, and then the Thunder couldn't hit any outside shots. And on the other end, the Spurs just ran a well-oiled machine, and DeJounte Murray was the best player on the court.
Yeah, the Spurs were actually 2-10 in 2022. So they really, really, really wanted their third win of the year. And a team coached by Greg Popovich is not going to let that streak keep going. And tonight, it just looked like the Thunder looked like a sleepy team. It was a sleepy game to watch. And the Spurs were the total opposite. They came out and dominated. Jakob Poeltl had 4 blocks. One of them, I believe, was on Darius Bazley, just sending him to oblivion.
Yeah. Send him to the shadow realm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help when, you know, Doug McDermott goes 6 of 9 from three. Mm-hmm. Keldon Johnson, 3 of 5 from three. Devin Vassell, 4 of 5 from three.
DeJounte Murray was awesome.
Yeah, DeJounte Murray was awesome. I'm sure we'll talk about him a little bit more. But the Spurs shoot 37.5% from three and 49% from the field, score 118 points. The Thunder just couldn't flip the switch off. No. I mean, they could not stop what the Spurs wanted to do. And I thought it was really punctuated by a DeJounte Murray disgusting between-the-legs pass on a pick-and-roll to Jakob Poeltl for a dunk. I believe it was Jakob Poeltl who dunked it.
I think it was, yeah.
And
that'll be on a lot of top 10 plays of the night lists.
Yes. Just not a good night for Oklahoma City. I guess let's start with the offense, Silva. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned it earlier, but the Spurs just sniffed out everything. They apparently watched a lot of film on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They doubled him as soon as he started to drive every time, tried to get to him on that spin move, and just crowded the paint. Didn't not let him get any shots up close. He didn't have any room to finish. Shai's an incredibly crafty finisher. Just didn't have any room to try to finish. Didn't have any room for that floater. And so he resorted to like trying to kick out to shooters, and guys just didn't hit shots.
No, whenever you talked about this season for Shai kind of coming in and how he might struggle being like the only potent offensive option the Thunder have, tonight is kind of the night you would envision in a worst case scenario that every good option that he normally has just totally cut off. There were no step back threes. Shai's been driving a ton. That wasn't there for him tonight because of the Spurs' like surprisingly good rim defense. Like you said, he was 5 of 20. He only took 4 threes tonight. Oh, it didn't make a single one.
He hasn't been taking many threes recently.
No, just driving nonstop, and it didn't work. 5 of 21 from the field for Shai. One of the positives tonight for the Thunder, Aaron Wiggins, who was the leading scorer with 19 points, finished 7 of 8, and he played 35 minutes. So Aaron Wiggins led the team in points and minutes tonight. What are you seeing from Aaron Wiggins at this point? Do you expect this to continue from him? Do you think he's a guy that's going to stick around beyond this season, beyond season after?
It's so hard to say. I love what I've seen. Okay, let's preface with that. I don't want people to think I'm hating on Aaron Wiggins by any means. I love what I've seen. I think he plays really hard. I think he's a good defender. I think he's a great off-ball offensive player. I love the way he cuts off the ball. I love the way he'll catch a pass and put the ball on the deck for like one dribble and get to the hoop. But it's just, it's so hard to evaluate, even though it feels like we've been watching him for a while now. It's such a small sample size. I think back to what we were saying about Théo Maledon at this point last season, right? Mm-hmm. It's so hard for me to make a judgment call because we really don't know until next season. Wait till next season when he's on scouting reports, when he's had a full off season to hone his craft and try to get better at certain deficiencies in his game. And let's see where he's at. The initial signs are very good, but it's so hard to make a long-term prognosis of how he's playing. This team isn't good. No. He's starting and he's playing well for the most part, which is nice. It's just, it's so hard to make a ruling. I'm going to give him the season and kind of see what happens. I am interested. The Thunder opened up a roster spot. They're only at 14 players on roster. They can sign somebody to that spot. I'm interested if after the trade deadline, if that spot is still open, if Aaron will get that spot and get the what I call the Lu Dort special, that 3-year non-guaranteed deal that guys like Lu Dort, Deonte Burton, etc. Not Tony Bradley, Moses Brown, mm-hmm. folks like that got.
I think he has earned that, or at least I think he's on his way to earning that kind of spot for this team. I definitely don't think a guy like PJ Watson, is that what his name is? PJ Watson?
PJ? I don't know if it's PJ, but his last name is Watson.
Paul Watson.
Sure. Paul Watson, there you go.
Junior. Good God. Late night, folks. There really weren't many positives tonight on offense beyond Aaron Wiggins. I wish Trey Mann would have gotten more minutes tonight. He only got 16. Four of those were in total garbage time. He came out and hit like a three. He had a stretch of, I think, 8 minutes where he scored his only 7 points of the night. One of them was like a step back in the middle of the lane. One of them, I think, was a catch and shoot three. Just one of the only guys that was showing juice offensively tonight. So I wish he would have stayed out there longer. I don't know why he didn't. Ty Jerome got 22 minutes tonight, and, you know, he had a decent game. He was 2 of 6 from three, but he scored 10 points. Do you like what you saw from limited minutes in Trey Mann?
Yeah, I always love what we see from Trey, man. 1 of 3 from three. He hasn't been super efficient from three, but we know he can shoot it. He's just instant offense. I think it's going to take him time, and I think they're being very, very strict with his playing time. Mm-hmm. Anytime he slips up, they're pulling him. It's very much a conditioning type of thing. Not conditioning as far as like your physical conditioning, but mental conditioning. You mess up, you're out. You mm-hmm. mess up, you're out. You mess up, you're out. And he starts to learn. And so he stays sharper defensively for longer. I think that's kind of what they're doing with him. But yeah, I love Trey Mann minutes. It's really hard to find any positives to take from this game. So Trey Mann is probably one of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike Muscala played very sparingly. Mamadi Diakite is fine.
3 fouls in 3 minutes. That's pretty tough. Not a ton. The tank standings look better.
Yeah. Before we move on to tank standings, I feel like we need to say something about Darius Bazley.
Mm.
I think people got sucked back in over another 5-game stretch, culminating with that 17-point game against, who was that against? It wasn't against Dallas. Who was the game before that? Denver?
I think so.
He had that 17-point game and played crazy efficiently off the bench and looked really good.
Yeah.
And then it's back to the same old base.
Didn't look good starting.
We talk about him a lot. I don't think he's long for this team. You've got 3 first-round picks coming this summer. You've got, after that, you have 9 more first-round picks coming the next 2 drafts. You got to rotate guys out and give other guys an opportunity to step up. And Bazley's had 3 years. He's not progressed at all. The decision-making is just putrid. Like we mentioned today, like he just tries stuff that's really dumb and it doesn't work. His continued long leash surprises me. And I think people like I said, I think people got sucked back in after 4 or 5 nice Bazley games. It's like that Star Wars thing. It's a trap.
Yeah, it's a total trap because he had that nice move at the very end of the game. He went like reverse baseline after crossing over. And it's like, oh, that'd be cool if he could do that more often. But
but that's in a game that they're down 25 in the final minutes and the other team doesn't really care. You know,
no, they don't care. I tweeted.
And so that it's really hard to.
Yeah, I tweeted that he got sent to Vormir from Avengers Endgame, where the Red Skull is. He's going to be stuck there for a while after getting blocked by Jakob Poeltl.
I love it.
That was kind of gratifying to see, to be honest. All bays.
Do you want to talk about tank standings for a minute?
I do. The Thunder are now 14-30, still 1 game up on Houston. I was hoping tonight Mo Bamba was going off, had 27 points in like the first half, I think. So I was hoping they could steal a win and move up 1 game there. But yeah, we're still 1 game ahead of Houston. They're 13-32. Oklahoma City's 14-30.
Yeah. The Orlando thing, I think that ship has sailed. They're not going to catch Orlando. No. So Houston 13-32. So Houston's only 1 game behind as far as wins are concerned, but have 2 more losses. Only thing good going for OKC right now is Houston, and we'll kind of keep an eye on this, but with 3 minutes left in the game, Houston is up 5 on Utah. A win tonight for Houston would put them tied with the Thunder in the win column. They would both have 14 wins. Houston would just have 2 more losses. Silva, I'm starting to get scared about the Indiana Pacers.
Me too. And I know we play them pretty soon. We play them on the 28th.
Yeah, that's a game you need to lose.
I don't desperately need to lose. I don't get how they are that bad. Because they have a lot of talent on that team. Mm-hmm. They had a terrible coach by all regards last season, and they were better than this. And now they have Rick Carlisle, who is like widely regarded as a good coach, and they're terrible.
1-9 in the last 10.
I don't get
pretty, pretty awful. As we talk, the Clippers are also playing the Denver Nuggets. I think the Clippers are up 12 at half.
Yeah.
Denver needs to pull their head out of their ass and win that one. They can't lose twice to the lowly Clippers with everybody out. I don't know if we've talked about it on a show since it happened, but word has come out that the Clippers are going to rest PG for, quote, a few more weeks, not a couple. Not a week, but a few, which makes me feel pretty confident that Paul George will be out through the All-Star break.
Yep.
The Clippers, I think their next 6 or 7 games are on the road. This is a chance for, hopefully, for that pick to really start climbing those standings. that the Clippers are basically neck and neck with the Lakers and with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. Portland is kind of creeping up there, but they're still a ways back, about four wins behind. Although they have been playing well, they're 5-5 in their last 10. Clippers are 4-6 in their last 10. Thunder got to hope the Clippers really struggle on this road trip if you want a chance for that Clippers pick to be in the lottery.
What do you think the chances are that PG rests through the All-Star break, the Clippers lose like a ton of games, it's looking harder and harder that it's looking less and less likely that the Clippers make the play-in or make the playoffs. What do you think the chances are that they just say, all right, PG, you can just rest?
I think they would have to be pretty far out of reach of the play-in, and I just don't see that happening with Minnesota and the Lakers playing as they are. I think that's going to keep that pretty close. I hope that happens. But I mean, it's hard for San Antonio and Sacramento to win that many games and climb back up in there. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But I mean, even if they're in the play-in and end up hopefully losing the play-in and that pick ends up with like the 12th best odds, that's still a great sign for Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Better than nothing for sure. So keep an eye out on that game, January 28th against the Indiana Pacers. That's a huge one. We play the Blazers right after that on the 31st. Other big ones, let's see. Play the Kings, which the Kings, by all regards, are trying to. Everything I've read in The Athletic, they're trying to make a trade. They're trying to be buyers at the deadline. Apparently, they don't want to break up their backcourt, though, is what the most recent thing I saw.
But, that seems like posturing to me. They're going to have to break up that backcourt.
I know.
I'd get rid of Fox before I got rid of Tyrese Halliburton. That's just me, though. That's just me, though. Okay, let's get back to the San Antonio game real quick. Last thing on the Thunder I wanted to touch on. I think, does this have tonight's game factored in? Let's see. No, it does not. Before tonight's game, the Thunder were dead last in three-point shooting percentage in the league at 31.3. Mm-hmm. Actually, tied with Detroit. Thunder and Detroit both make 31.3% of their threes. Pacers are at 32.4. It's pretty bleak for OKC. It's actually interesting. They make more threes than a handful of teams, but their percentage is lower. And tonight is only going to exasperate that and make that even worse. And that's whenever I watch this team, Silva, and Taylor and I talked about this on the Sunday night show a little bit, there's two things that I feel like this team desperately needs. Number one, far and away, is shooting. They need people who can space the floor and really open things up for Shea and Josh Giddey. The other thing is they need a big. I love JRE. I love Mike Muscala. But I can't think of the last time I saw a Thunder center dunk the basketball. And I've talked about this a lot this past week, but that point was really driven home to me when I watched Darius Garland just throw basketballs up in the general vicinity of the hoop and seven-footers just come out of nowhere and dunk it over and over and over again. That is going to open up so much for Shea and so much for Josh. Maybe Chet Holmgren is that guy. Maybe like a Jalen Duren is that guy. But I think shooting is the most needed thing on this team. But after that, it probably is a big man. I know the Thunder really like to have big men, as you can see on this roster, who can pop out and space the floor to three. I think you need someone who can do a little bit of both. And I think Chet could definitely be that guy.
Chet fits that bill exactly. Mm-hmm. I'd be so excited to watch Josh Giddey have the opportunity to throw more lobs. I don't know if...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Who has even caught a lob this year? Like, Darius Bazley's probably caught a few. Trey Mann
caught one. Like, seriously, I can't think of many lobs that this team has thrown this season.
No.
And they just don't have the personnel to do so. Mm-hmm. But you last get a guy like Chet, you get a guy like, I was about to say Jaren Jackson Jr.
Jabari Smith Jr.
Mm-hmm. Guys like that, that can play above the rim. I mean, I love Chet on, I love the idea of Chet on this team, but Jabari, even though he doesn't play center, I think you could play later on in his career. You could play him at the five down the stretch of games. I think he'll put on enough weight, and he's 6'10 with like a 7'2 wingspan or whatever. But the shooting and the ability to be that athletic and play above the rim, like Jabari Smith Jr. is the perfect fit for this team.
I've watched a lot of film on Chet and Paolo, but not so much on Jabari. But since I've been home sick, I've been watching a lot more on Jabari, and he's awesome.
He's insane.
I totally get why he's like number one on a lot of mock drafts now.
He is great, and a lot of people want to crap on Chet because of like his weight and maybe not putting up crazy numbers at Gonzaga. He's taking a back seat to some guys at Gonzaga and letting them score the points, specifically like Timmy, who is, I don't know how long, is he a junior or senior there, I think?
Yeah, upperclassman.
Really letting that guy take over. But, I mean, Chet is not afraid to challenge anything at the rim. He is just an absolute animal trying to defend the basket. I said it on a podcast. I think maybe you were on it. I think Chet Holmgren has the possibility to be like his ceiling is Rudy Gobert with a handle and a jump shot,
which is insane.
Yeah.
I would not slander that player nearly as much as I slander Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. I mean, you look at some of the stuff Chet was able to do in high school. Yes, it's against high school talent and it's not against NCAA talent, but his ability to get the ball off the rim, dribble up the court, dribble behind the back, in between the legs, Euro step, pull up from three, like, those things didn't just go away. Those skills are still there. He's just not utilizing them in the college game. And when he gets to the NBA where the floor is more open, that's going to open up a lot more for him. Is he going to get put in the bucket by Joel Embiid? Hell yeah. I mean, the dude's tiny, right?
Yeah. Especially but
you would make a long-term investment in him. And if he can put on the weight, I mean, if he can have a body transformation like Rudy Gobert, I mean, you're talking about a guy that ceiling could be really, really special.
We've seen guys with his frame beef up, like Giannis is another option. Obviously, Giannis is one in a million player, but we've seen guys make that kind of transformation, even if it's not quite as drastic.
And it's going to take years, obviously. Like the physiology of that takes years. Yeah. But
how old is Chet? 19?
He's older than Poku.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's the other thing about Jabari Smith Jr. Jabari's like only 19 years old. He'll be 19 at the draft. I mean, it just checks all the boxes. Young, athletic, high skill level, can shoot. Like it checks everything for Sam Presti's boxes. Like I'm getting to the point where I'd be very surprised if the Thunder got picked number one and they did not take Jabari Smith Jr.
His shot looks way, way better than I thought it would.
And he releases it so high and so quick. It's nice. We better talk about the Spurs a little bit because they did look good tonight.
They did. I don't generally know what their goal for this season is other than just to be competitive. But they have so many useful players on their team. Guys, I didn't even like, they still have Lonnie Walker. DeJounte Murray's been there developing for many years at this point. He's awesome. Jakob Poeltl, we brought up earlier, had four blocks tonight. He's awesome.
Derek White.
Derek White's
played
still
really
there.
Well. Keldon Johnson is really, really good for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Thad Young does not play for them. They could probably trade him at the deadline for something. Yep. The Spurs typically don't make in-season trades, and they just recently did, which was kind of surprising.
Yes, sent Bryn Forbes away, brought in Juancho Hernangómez.
Yep. Arda in the chat says KPJ just iced a Rockets win over the Jazz.
Did he?
You love to see it. 114-109 with 21 seconds to go.
Wow.
Hey, good for him. At least he didn't throw a fit at halftime and leave the arena. So that's huge. That's huge for the Tank Stains. If the Thunder could somehow slip to three, I mean, there's a lot of season left. I think Houston is going to sell off vets at the deadline here. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I'm pulling up that box score right now. Silva, so we need to break down DeJounte Murray. But I was going to mention Devin Vassell, also another young wing in San Antonio that's developed well. Mm-hmm. The Spurs have a bunch of what feels like middle tier players. Like DeJounte Murray has separated himself from that middle tier and is climbing up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think overall he's a better player than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander by any stretch.
No.
But the Spurs just have a lot of those mid-tier wing type of guys that if I don't think they want to sell off a bunch of guys at the deadline, but a guy like Derek White could fetch them something good if you traded Derek White to a playoff contender, a team that is wanting to make like a deep playoff run.
They're a good spot for like a future consolidation trade, like in the offseason or something. Just because they have so many like above average players, not any elite players. And I don't see anyone really outside of DeJounte Murray that's going to, like, I don't know who outside of DeJounte Murray is going to reach that level. Like, Keldon Johnson is still really young. Derek White's still really young, but I don't know, like, how many of those guys have all-star potential. So maybe they can make a consolidation trade at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, DeJounte Murray tonight was special. He's really elevated his game. Triple-double tonight. I think it was, how many points was it?
Yeah, 23.
23 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds. Super efficient, just was in control. He's a really, really good defender. I really like what DeJounte Murray does. The Spurs have a nice player there. He's not a number one player on like a deep playoff team. He's probably like more like number three.
Yeah.
But really solid game manager. Really like what he does for the Spurs. And the Spurs have a good one in him.
He could be like a Mike Conley type of guy.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Maybe a little bit less than that, but that kind of mold, I think, is really good.
Yeah, they just need to find his Marc Gasol. We'll see.
They need to find a lot of stuff.
They need to find a lot of stuff.
Yeah, interesting. The Spurs typically don't make in-season trades, so that Juancho Hernangómez trade was surprising. I wonder if that means they're going to be open for business here in a couple of weeks for the trade deadline.
Yeah, yeah, you got to think with, I'm sure Pop doesn't have that many years left to coach, and you got to think, and he just doesn't want to coach.
Yeah, Pop's done after this season. Also, Houston is going to win. They're up 7 with 10 seconds left.
So, tied in the win column.
Tied in the win column. Still two behind in the loss, but tied in the win, which is great. Silva, before we get out of here, I do want to mention to our listeners that as the trade deadline approaches, we are here at the Uncontested are planning on doing another trade deadline special for you guys. The trade deadline hits February 10th at 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern. For that final hour from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time on February 10th, we will be live here on the Uncontested show on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Just doing a hangout, chatting with you guys. Everyone who's in the chat can drop stuff. And we're just going to be following along, breaking down all the rumors, all the trades that happen, and following all the Woj bombs in that final hour leading up to the deadline, including anything that comes up for the Thunder. And then immediately after that hour, after all the dust settles, we will stay on the live stream and we are going to do our post-trade deadline podcast. So it's going to be a big show on February 10th. So make sure to make plans to be there with us. If you're going to be at work, just turn on the YouTube and pop your headphones in and do your work while you listen to the Trade Deadline show. It's going to be a blast. With that being said, Silva, give me your top three Thunder players that you think can get traded between now and by 2 p.m. Central Time on February 10th.
Well, you know, we can't trade for Cam Reddish anymore, as much as I wanted that to happen. But I still think I'd put Kenneth Williams high up on that list. I still think I'd put Bazley relatively high, even if it's just for like a, you know, change of scenery for a second, something like that, to get him out of here. Third. There's not that many guys on our on the Thunder that are trade worthy. I don't know. Like how many? I hope not Ty Jerome because I like Ty Jerome a lot.
I think Ty Jerome's my third.
Yeah,
you hit my first two. Ty Jerome's my third, honorable mention, if some crazy shit happens, is Lu Dort as he becomes extension eligible moving forward. I think the most likely scenario is that they take Lu Dort and try to get him to sign. They're able to give him an extension in March. That's like 3 years, $12 million a year. It's like three for 36. I think they would love to do that. If Lou's agency doesn't take that, they can make Lou a restricted free agent this summer or play out his last year at like $2 million and make him an unrestricted free agent the next summer. I don't know of those two options, which they would prefer. You would think they'd prefer to make him a restricted free agent and have that team control. But it's like with Jeremy Grant, they had the same option. They made him an unrestricted free agent a year later. If Lu Dort doesn't take the extension in March, I wonder if they shop a trade for him at the draft, which would make a lot of sense. But Lu Dort would be my dark horse kind of honorable mention. But Kenrich Williams, Darius Bazley, and Ty Jerome are my top three for February 10th.
Yeah, that's fair. That date is quickly approaching.
It's going to be a fun day. You need to put in leave and get off work and live pod with me.
I can do that.
Before we get out of here, you want to do one Tankathon sim?
Let's do it.
I will share my screen so the people on the stream can see what we're doing here.
I did 10 during the game when I started to get extra sad about the score.
All right. Is my screen up, Silva?
No, but it is now.
There we go. All right. The moment of truth, folks. That Clippers pick still down there at 15, which isn't the worst. Even at 15, they could still lose the play-in tournament and end up in the lottery. So, all right. One sim to rule them all. That was Lord of the Rings reference, by the way.
Shout out to the new show.
Oh, shit. It fell to 6.
Oh, God.
That ain't good, folks. But that is the – if they stay up 4, that's the most likely spot they land at is 6. It is. I said 1. We're doing another one.
Yeah, let's do another one. Oh,
another at 8.
Drop to 8.
That's Toronto, even worse.
That's the first pick.
Yep. 4. I'd be fine if they stayed at 4. And then one more jump to 3.
How about that?
Good. So there we go.
All right. On that note. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening live. If you followed along and asked us questions in the chat, thank you guys for listening afterwards on your podcast platform of choice. Jacob, thanks for hopping on with me.
Of course.
Thunder play next Friday in Charlotte. See how that one goes. But until then, thank you guys for listening to The Uncontested. And Thunder up.